The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love, Deborah Voith, and Lenora Brightmoon. Three out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each episode, they will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. And now, on with the show.
Hello.
Hello, Darwin.
Hello, Nagasiba, and welcome to everybody. This is Deborah Voith here with co-host and fellow witch, Elvira Love.
Hello.
And today we are exploring the witch's familiar and specifically taking a deep look at how we work with familiar spirits. So are you excited for this discussion, Elvira?
Oh, yes, I am. It was fun to do some extra research. And of course, even though my dogs are in physical form and that's a little different, they were very helpful. They kept sitting on my notes.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, so
I'm a little darlings.
I know.
Yeah, so it's, I think this is a great topic, and there's a lot of different facets about it. And so I guess to get us started, I'll just kind of start out with kind of defining like what a familiar spirit, what a witch's familiar is. Mm-hmm. And so not to dip too deep into the history, because there is a lot of history.
Oh, yeah.
But just to kind of, I want to mention that the concept of a familiar spirit goes back at least 2,000 years. And if you include like the PGM or the Greek magical papyri, there's a spell there to acquire a spiritual assistant. I believe it was called a peredros. So some believe that this peredros was kind of like a earlier version of what in Hermetic circles they call the holy guardian angel. Especially like in the medieval and Renaissance grimoires. So you'll see some historical descriptions of spirits referred to in the texts as demons, but they're probably more akin to like djinns, but just kind of like focusing on what exactly is a familiar spirit. And so a familiar spirit is a magical spirit being that guides and protects and unifies the witch with her magical practice. And this magical spirit may exist in the physical, the astral, or the spiritual realms. In the physical realm, you might have a beloved pet or a forest animal that is ensouled by a familiar spirit. And often this might be recognized when you are both drawn to each other in a special way, and drawn to each other in a way that some folks call soul recognition or soul bonding. And the familiar spirit might act as a spirit guide or a guardian, and can also help you unlock some of your magical abilities and also support you on your witch's path. So some believe that a familiar can also be created. So there's a little bit of I would say not everybody agrees with this, but some do. Some believe that a familiar can be created in the form of like an egregor or a servitor or a tulpa. And the connection or bond of a witch to their familiar happens or is recognized usually like as some kind of synchronicity or a synchronistic event. Anyway, I have a hard time with that word.
Yes, so do I.
Synchronistic event, where in retrospect, you recognize it a lot of times. And so some folks see this as like a way, as a sort of like a divine timing. Mm-hmm. Sort of like when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Right.
And so, so when the witch is ready, oftentimes the familiar will appear and enter, you know, their consciousness, or you might have it appear to you, you know, physically in person, where, you know, in the physical realm, they're ensouled with that familiar spirit, and you just connect, you just know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's other ways that you might receive it also. It might be a spirit that you connect to on the astral realm while doing that type of journeying, or in the spiritual realm while you're, you know, working in the spirit realm, especially with hedge witches. I think every hedge witch that I know has a familiar.
Or so, several.
Or several, yes, yes. So you might have one, you know, some I've noticed have just one for like their whole life. But then I know others who have several. And sometimes they might have a number of them all at the same time. Or it might be that a different type of familiar shows up at different junctions of their life, you know, on their magical path. Mm-hmm. You know, the magical journey, depending on what, you know, what they need at that time. Right. And so I think a lot of times the witch's familiar is popularized as a cat.
Yeah.
But they could take many, many forms, such as dogs, snakes, and other animals, but can also be other beings in nature, you know, like insects, plants, trees or birds. And I just want to mention also that in ancient rituals, they were often linked to, the witch was often granted the familiar from a like higher or more powerful spiritual being. And so lots of times this would have been like the witch's devil, which is, they were often, you know, the old deities or other types of spirits that were relabeled as devils. Right. Or by Elphémie, the, I don't know if I'm saying her name quite right, but the queen of the fairies, mm-hmm. basically was another well-known larger spirit that would grant a witch a familiar. And I also know that sorcerers might bind a planetary familiar to a ring or a crystal, or they may use an abramelin square to connect. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to go too far before I let you jump in there and tell me a little bit about what you know about familiars.
Okay, well, obviously, you know, you've given a very good definition and foundation for what a familiar is in a broad base. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I kind of use one of the gentlemen that I like a lot is Ted Andrews and his book, Spirit Speaks, and, you know, things of that nature where you can, you know, if animals become your, you know, totem, or power animal or spirit familiar, you know, you can read up on things and it gives you, especially for the ones that we're talking about that are on this plane, it gives you some really good ideas and energies to work with. But he basically, you know, it's, they have their own talents, their own abilities. And, you know, you can use it for ritual magic. So, you know, you come and you connect with them in that level. Now, I know how you get them can be, they keep showing up in some form, whether it's physical or in your dreams or, you know, as some kind of consistency of somebody talking about them or a picture appearing. And then it's up to you to open and feel, you know, open that energy up to start going, you know, in terms of that, sometimes it becomes very powerful for you to sit in, you know, obviously spirit meditations and rituals to open the door to the spirit of that particular physical and form, you know, embodied animal. But it's also, I was actually talking before we got on the show that mythical creatures can also become your spirit guides, spirit animals, spirit power animals. And I noticed, though, with that, most of the time, the people that I know, or if I've experienced something similar, it's a lifelong thing. It's not a short-lived process. Like, they come in the middle of a particular time frame of events that you need help in. So mythical creatures, I think, because they're mythical, because they're otherworldly, are without time, so they kind of have a tendency to be a more long-lasting one. And then there are ones that, I mean, because I'm a witch and I, you know, deal with the pagan and neo-pagan and Wiccan and all the different formats, it tends to be things that are more appropriate for what I'm doing, but I also tend to work with archangels, and I didn't really start that. And I had an experience where I was in a specific situation, and I think this is, you know, comes up with whether it's a spirit animal or it's a deity or it's angelic, is that particular archangel came in for that particular situation and worked with me. And then kind of that was it. It was that one event. And I think that we have to be very mutable when it comes to how they come in and how long they stay. You know, it's funny because one of the things that was described by Ted Andrews is sometimes the power animal will be or even the power, you know, spirit guide or power, you know, spirit animal or spirit guide, is that they will give you a name. And it's usually a very common name, like Joe or Gina or something. And that, I think, is, in my opinion, it so we can relate to them, because I have a power animal that did that and does that. I mean, that's they have a very common name. And I always thought that that was really kind of odd because, you know, we're so used to magical names and things. But I think that's also to keep us grounded in the world we live in to what they are helping us with. So I think for me, it's been an adventure for the different things to happen, calling on them. Or, you know, getting involved with certain ones at certain times, or they just stay and then they go away and they come back again. Because as we know, there is really no without linear time. And so we're dealing with energies that are without time. So it isn't like, oh, I haven't had you around in 3 months. What happened? You know, they just did their thing and they were off. And then some of them are like our, you know, physical animals we have. They're here. So, I look at it as that. But it's they work with the supernatural powers and the other energies, and you can call on them. I know a lot of people who have crow and, you know, eagle and snake. Mm-hmm. And those are things that are, you know, very witchy and, you know, tend to have their own imagery, but it has nothing to do with that for the people I know. But it's, you know, mm-hmm. like the cat. Every time you turn around, you see a witch with a cat. Well, I mean, I'm a cat person too, but, you know, I kind of go, So that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah. No, I love that because you kind of expanded on like what a familiar can be. Mm-hmm. And so, because I think that's really important because we do get kind of fixated, especially when pop culture enters into it, where, it's usually, you know, the witch and her cat is her familiar. But there's so many other types of familiars. And I was just, I know that a couple of the familiars that I have are animal spirits. Mm-hmm. But then I also noticed that, like, just looking at, in researching a little bit, the whole thing about, you know, sorcerers with, you know, planetary familiars. And in the old pagan folklore of Europe, there were imps and fairies and household spirits that were used as familiars. There were also fetches in a more limited way used as familiars. And also, which fetches are kind of more like doppelgangers. And so I can't expand on that too much to know like how that's used. I almost feel like maybe that would empower somebody with astral projection, but I don't know. I would have to look more into that. But and also the Fylgjas. And Fylgjas are those Norse, like they're animal spirits, but they're personal spirits to the individual that are spirits of fate and fortune. Mm-hmm. And so it's, and I love that you brought up like dragons and other mythical beings and angels and stuff like that. And so I think it's nice to know to kind of see more of an expanded view rather than just letting our imagination and our magic be limited.
A lot of the ideas, I know that, as you say, pop culture and you know, a lot of what's become necessary for, you know, the development of our imaginations have created all kinds of things. And, you know, unicorns and dragons and, you know, griffins and all these different things. But in the ancient times, they actually did, these things were part of the energy patterns that were called upon because they were embodied in the non-physical realm, whether we want to go astral or superconscious or wherever we want to throw the line. And I think that helps because it takes us out of just the physical realm, even though, I mean, for heaven's sakes, we can have wolf and it can be an incredibly powerful familiar well beyond the physical realm. But it also gives us the ability to step into a bigger platform.
Yeah, and I love that, like for instance, one of my familiars is, and not all familiars are, I think it's a little more unusual, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I like to think I'm special or something. but one of my familiars is a wolf. And I would think that it's like my most predominant familiar, but it's also a shapeshifter, which turns into a dog. Mm-hmm. And at other times will turn into what's known as like the snarly yowl. And so, and so the wolf I always feel is there as, you know, guardian, protector, and will also go out and help me search for someone who is lost or search for what it is that I need. The snarly yowl is definitely a protector.
Right.
And maybe a little more of the more extreme protector. While it, with the shape shifting into the dog part, to me, the dog is so connected to Hecate, but also the dog is what helps me calm. It helps me center and it helps me ground my energy. And so it's like with my dog, Loki, who I feel is a familiar in the physical realm, embodied by, she's like way too much like me. So at first I didn't know if I was going to get along with her well. So I figured that she was teaching me some things because I'm an Aries. And so I can be kind of, you know, jumping into things, you know, with both feet. She is also an Aries. And so it was a challenge to, when she was a puppy and trying to train her and stuff like that, because we both have very alpha energy and just trying to, but then I realized I had to respect her having that energy and kind of step back. And then things, I would say blossomed more and bond between us.
Right.
And so that was real interesting.
Well, it's thinking about it, one of the things that I did find, and I guess in a way, your animal familiar can also, as you say, change shapes, change, you know, aspects. And one of the things that they can change is into human or humanoid. And the funny thing is when I was listening to you and I was thinking about that in my note, there is Amanda Hall is a writer, and she writes these, they're not really fantasy, but they're about witches. And her main one is the Wicked Witches of the Midwest. Well, she's got spinoffs of other locales around that location and other characters. And it's interesting because that's one of the things that happened with one of the other characters, is that she wound up having this cat, and it came as a kitty, and she saved it from the, you know, the alley, and she brought it in, and eventually the cat started to talk to her in the human language, and so she was a little tweaked out about it. And as it turns out, it's saying that it came from another dimension and it's there to help her, and you know, and that, and then eventually down the way in several books, she does something and her magic is, she's trying to protect herself and obviously this cat, and a cat jumped, but jumped in the middle of the spell and became human. So it was one of those, when you were talking, I was sitting there going, because even though that's a story, that is very much, and it was designed as a certain drama, is that they do change. They do take on different forms when necessary.
Yes, and and I think that in making a pop culture reference is something else that that made me think of, is that one of my favorite I guess scenarios in pop culture with a familiar is in that old movie, Bell, Book, and Candle.
Yes.
Novak is the witch. And when she casts her spells, she uses her cat. And so she'll have her cat and she'll be holding it and petting it and humming a tune. And you can see that there's a real connection between them. And that is another thing that really, it really illustrates like that whole thing of using a familiar to project, project your magic, project your spell. That is like something that I don't think is talked about much, but is a very, very, you know, excellent way to work with magic with a familiar.
Well, and, you know, I did have at one time I had snakes. And one of the things I found is that, you know, with a snake, you're holding the snake and you can be doing exactly what you're talking about and allowing that energy and the snake and the spirit of the snake to work with you and do just that, project. I didn't necessarily do that on a regular basis, but there were times when that became necessary for us to, you know, use that in a particular spell or particular situation.
So, you know, I think a familiar will come, I would say, come forth most often like as an aspect of nature, many times as an animal, but not always. You know, they can take the form of just about, I think it's easier to connect in nature, you know, where it might be with a bird or a plant, a tree or an insect, you know, it just, depending on where you're at on your magical path, I think if you just let go of any kind of preconceptions and remain open and receptive, you might be very surprised at what shows up.
Yes. Very much so.
Link with you as a familiar. So any last thought before we break?
No. I mean, just it's funny you talk about plants really quickly. I have a large aloes plant that has become a very large aloes plant, and it definitely is a familiar.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there's so many cool things about aloes too.
Yeah, I know. So
yeah. So there. Well, I guess we will start for the break. It is mid-show, time for us to take a break. So please break us away, Nagashiva.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance that brings you the best in hoodoo, conjure, witchcraft, rootwork, new thought, spiritualism, and pagan ways. Our shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, live on Sundays from 3 to 4:30 Pacific Time, the Crystal Silence League Hour, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, and the Now You Know Show. All these shows are available as audio podcasts via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and at YouTube, where we make daily video uploads. Please like and subscribe at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, makers of handcrafted spiritual supplies and offering the widest selection of magical herbs and roots, plus hundreds of free web pages filled with spellcasting tips and fortune-telling techniques. Our shop is located in Forestville, California, and we sell retail and wholesale online at LuckyMojo.com.
And we're back!
And energized with that beautiful music.
Bouncing around, oh yeah.
Yep.
Lots of coffee, lots of bouncing.
That so, reminds me, thank you. I'll have some coffee while you talk.
So we are back for discussing more about familiar spirits, and we might touch on like how to find your familiar, how to strengthen your bond with your familiar, how to work magically with your familiar. And so so we'll start up with Elvira. What say you on this particularly witchy topic of familiar spirits.
Well, one of the things that, you know, how to find your familiar, I know that a lot of us want to get a familiar. And so we actively start, you know, looking around and getting, you know, kind of putting our ego and our male energy of finding it, getting it. And I think a time frame there is to back off, which is hard, mm-hmm. but to back off. And then basically, I would say, ask, what is my spirit animal or spirit being for mm-hmm. this time frame, where, you know, and whether you do a ritual around it, you know, where you, you know, your circle and all the things that will make that a sacred space, and then mm-hmm. sit in meditation and wait. And again, the problem we have is that we want something intentionally great. It might be an aunt. It might be, you know, a butterfly or something. And we're like looking for, like, you know, the big macho energy. But I think we need to be very quiet and sit with that, whether it's in a ritual format or it's in a meditation or it's out walking in the woods or even, again, even walking in city environment. Because the thing that happens is it'll come across, and I've had things mm-hmm. that, like, billboards that buses ride by on, or a window that has something in it in a store, or something happens with an animal that somebody has. You have to let it start talking to you, that spirit animal, mm-hmm. to you, and be really open to that. Sometimes they're pretty blatant, you know. I mean, there were times when whatever I was looking for was not what I was getting, because it was, I had another idea, and yet it kept knocking on my door consistently, kind of a thing, and not mm-hmm. literally. So that's one thing, is to be more fluid mm-hmm. about what we do, and whether, as I say, we do it in a formal way or we start opening things up. I mean, a lot of times they go, well, it's spontaneous. I mean, it floats, you know, sits on your doorstep, literally, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we really need to be step back from what we want mm-hmm. In a spirit animal or spirit guide, and then bring that forth. So that's, you know, one way to find, well, I think it's a mindset. Mm-hmm. To allow yourself to find it, because, you know, there's so many things that happen that we discount, mm-hmm. and because it's without being on our agenda of how we're going to do it. So I think magical ways take us into another dimension mm-hmm. for us to be able to open to that, and, you know, once you get one, you need to start connecting with that being. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess in a way, the fluidity of how to connect. So, for instance, you can have a little spirit house that you can utilize for your bird or your, you know, whatever spirit animal, and mm-hmm. offer little treats, you know, in mm-hmm. some form. And that can start making the interaction more personal. I mean, they do that with, you know, the lare in the Strega tradition, and that's a spirit that stays with the family and works with the family. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at that, you can do the same thing with, you know, specifically power animals, power beings. So you set up a sacred space for them mm-hmm. and then honor them just like you would honor your ancestors, you know, if you're asking for help. It's the same thing. And mm-hmm. then, you know, depending, sometimes you'll go out and go to some store and suddenly you're looking at something that is the depiction, whether it's a little stone animal or a little, you know, picture of a tree that has maybe a little face in it, whatever it is, and utilizing that as a focal point to remember in the physical form when you see things as an honoring for that. I know over the period of time, I have a animal altar, and it's got a lot of animals there. Some of them are primary, and some of them are more, they've come, they've done work with me. I still honor what they did, but they've left. They've gone, you know, they're not part of my life. And, you know, you kind of get used to, you know, when you're a witchy person, you get used to the idea that you have areas that are not exactly what a normal person in the standard world would look at and go, oh, that's really interesting. You have a stuffed owl sitting there. So, but I have found that that helps the connection to grow in then when you are looking for things, or you just go, I really need some assistance, or I need help, I need assistance, or I need comfort because of this horrible thing that has happened and I don't know how to, you know, handle it. That energy in that being, whatever form, will be able to be come to you and help you navigate through the process. It will never take it away from you because it is your personal experience, but it will be there for help, whether, and again, we're talking about animals, but we can also be talking about deities. We can be talking about angels and archangels, you know, saints. That, you know, I have St. Francis. I wound up with a statue. It's a really nice little statue, and it's outside. And, you know, I ask St. Francis to keep my animals safe, keep the wildlife safe, you know, keep, you know, and I will, you know, do that in an honorary way and offer some different things because the statue has a little cup and utilize that. So it has a lot to do with how you are perceiving and then also opening up to what comes to you. I think both of those things are important.
I think that just like the bond between a witch and her familiar, it goes beyond just having a pet. Although your familiar may be in the physical realm because it's embodying that pet in the physical realm. But it's more than just having a pet and just saying like, oh, it's my familiar, or having a connection to nature, which I believe a connection to nature is always good. I think it's good for your soul. It's good for, you know, just grounding and just becoming, you know, having your energy body become healthier. But there, you know, there is a very unique soul bond between between the witch and her her familiar, her his familiar, I should say. And so I think that for me, I know, you know, I know that you can do rituals and stuff like that. But I think that the way that for me, familiars appeared at the time that I really needed them. And for me, they appeared when I was in meditation. Although I know it's, you know, setting your intention will help if somebody doesn't have a familiar, you know, some of the things that you named, kind of like setting your intention, meditation can help. Being out in nature can definitely help. And also doing a ritual to invite that familiar spirit to join you. And so so it can happen a little bit different for everyone. I think that today, you know, they're familiars had kind of a sketchy, if you look at history, like a lot of other things in magic, you know, familiars were seen as, you know, possibly evil and connected with, you know, demons and stuff like that. But I think today most people that work with familiars know, because a lot of it is about intention, is that you're setting your intention for a benevolent guide, for a benevolent partner to be with you on your magical journey, and that they show up for the highest good. And so they're not evil or associated with whatever fires of hell or whatever you think, wherever what anybody could think of that. You know, I just, so their purpose is always to support the witch on their journey and their growth and with their energy. And I believe that they add that power. And so just, you know, I love what you were saying about the altar or the spirit houses. I know that those are things that people do a lot of times for their spirit familiars. You know, even leaving out something, you know, offerings or food. I believe like with, if you have like a, to connect more deeply, if you have a familiar in the physical realm, and especially if it's like a dog or a cat, it's through like that eye contact, you know, that looking into each other's eyes is where you can really, really strengthen that bond. Mm-hmm. I know with some other animals, that's not, maybe not possible. I mean, you might have ravens or crows or, you know, other animals that where you're not necessarily able to do that inner gazing with them. Mm-hmm. But you can do other things though, like leaving out offerings for them, or other, you know, if it's a plant, you might, you know, speak your intention into some water and then water the plant. You know, there are other like creative ways to acknowledge that bond and to, I know like with trees, I think that I've connected with trees a lot on and off, you know, throughout my whole magical journey. And to me, like just sitting on the ground with my back to a tree, really, really helps me feel a very, very strong, powerful, magical connection to that tree and to the earth. And especially, you know, for things, you know, when I'm really, you know, in a place where I'm needing desperately to ground my energy. And so lots of times I think for finding a familiar, it'll happen organically. And you can't, you know, you can't go out and just buy a familiar. You can't just get it. You know, but I think that when it happens, you will feel like a shift. You'll feel like that powerful connection right away, and realize that that's what that is. You know, even if you don't realize it right at that moment, you'll realize it at some point.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so that energy exchange, you know, giving them space, you know, whether on the altar or spirit house, is very, very important. I guess just kind of like how, you know, so once you have your familiar, what is a good way to start? And once you strengthen that bond with your familiar, what are some good ways to start working with your familiar? There's, I know with me, you know, I gave the example of my dog familiar, you know, which mostly helps me with grounding. It helps mm-hmm. me with protection. I can, you know, I can work with it in the physical, the astral, or the spiritual realm. And, you know, and that's like the different, you know, when I say like shape-shifting, you know, the grounding and protection happens, you know, in the physical, but it happens also in the astral and the spiritual. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. one of my favorite ones to work with. I think that there's another spirit familiar that I work with a lot. I don't work it with it quite as much as the wolf, but another one is the dove. And so every time I hear that cooing, you know, of the mourning dove, I feel like that connection right away, you know, mm-hmm. and I always feel like the mourning dove enters like my crown chakra. Mm-hmm. And the first time I encountered, and I always only see, well, the physical connection is when I see them in nature or see them outside of my house and I can hear that cooing sound. But the first time I connected with that familiar was during meditation. I was astral projecting and I was, I was remote viewing and I was trying to sense where somebody was that was missing. And that's when that dove entered and I was like, oh, you know, please help me find this person. And I felt like I was on the wings of this dove. And wow. I could see in my meditative vision, like it going forward and flying. And I was just right there with it. And so mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times that's an example of one of them showing up when you need them. Mm-hmm. yeah. How about you, Elvira?
Well, you know, a lot of times when, especially I did work with the triad coven, is we would sit, whether we were in physical together form or we were in different locations, and we would do a specific meditation to bring us into, you know, another dimension, and then to take us to the temple we would go to. Mm-hmm. And my familiar was always waiting for me once I got to that dimension and would, you know, kind of hang out and walk with me and mm-hmm. get me to the temple and then just, you know, kind of play mm-hmm. around in the temple and do, you know, but God was part of my guide. And then if there were things that I was supposed to be doing or going out, that it would still be with me. Mm-hmm. It would be either sitting with me or in the same area, but as a protector, making mm-hmm. sure that wherever I was going in this other dimension, mm-hmm. I was, you know, I had this protection. And every once in a while, as you say, there's certain ones that come in, and I have found that I may be busy trying to do something, and suddenly this particular animal or person, you know, a humanoid or human, trying to be more politically correct, comes in. And a lot of times it's, we'll call them spirit guides. Ancient times were guardian angels and, you know, personified with, you know, certain things. And they're just there. And I'm just like, oh, you know, and whatever is going on. And I found that at the moment, it's not one I have worked with, it's a little disconcerting. But then there's an energy that, you know, this is for whatever you're doing. And I've had a few that have come and stayed with me and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of hung out with different jobs that I was doing, different people, especially when I'm doing readings. Mm-hmm. Especially when I'm doing readings, I have certain ones that sort of hang out there, and you kind of go, mm-hmm. you hear them tapping. It's like tapping on a window, you know, to get your attention. And yeah. then after that, it works to help me find what is the best way to mm-hmm. communicate what's coming up. And, you know, tarot, certain things can be the catching, like temperance card. There's an archangel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, we know the tower and the more traditional is with two wolves. Mm-hmm. Or actually, I'm sorry, isn't that? That's not the tower. That's moon, with the moon,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I mean, but some of these things just trigger what you're, where you get deeper information. And so they help me find ways to communicate mm-hmm. the things that people are looking for, but sometimes in a bigger way, mm-hmm. something that has a bigger meaning so they can see beyond the scope of our little, I want, I need, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a tendency, even when I'm not thinking about it, that's how I work, especially mm-hmm. when I do, you know, divination and tarot kind of a thing. And mm-hmm. ritual, I'm always aware of the elementals and, you know, the different beings, because I will call them. Mm-hmm. But I also know that there are certain ones that stick around because of what we're doing mm-hmm. or what I'm doing.
Yeah. It's certainly very special, that whole connection on many different levels is very, very special. Mm-hmm. And you'll know it, you know, if you haven't, you know, connected to a familiar spirit, yeah, you will definitely know it. There was one thing I wanted to mention is that there's not a lot of books on familiar spirits. And I just wanted to mention that I came across and I was very impressed with this book called Familiar Unto Me, Witches, Sorcerers, and Their Spirit Companions by B.J. Swain. Now, he goes into the whole history of familiars and like all the different types of familiars and different rituals and different things for that. One of the things that I thought was kind of cute is that he's got like all this very well-researched, fairly, you know, good-sized book. But in the beginning of it, and I just thought this was very cute but very sweet, is that he put a quote from pop culture from Sabrina Spellman from The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And I remember this episode and I thought this was like actually very fitting. And I'll read her her call for her familiar spirit. And she stood there and said, "Spirits of the forest, I pronounce my intention to thee. Come forth and seek me, and equal we will be. Not master and servant, but familiar to familiar. To share our knowledge, our spirit, and our traits. And now, spirits, we will wait."
Very nice.
Yeah, I just thought, wow, what a nice little quote to put at the beginning of this more serious study type book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, with a lot of things that I've found, you know, whether it's in magic or mundane, it's like the more loose and fluid I am with things, mm-hmm. the better they flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody told me a quote, I don't know where it came from, but something like that, you should wear life like a pair of loose underwear. And I thought,
ooh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think that can also apply as well to some of my magical things. It's like, you know, that whole being loose about it, putting it out there, having it align hopefully with the best and highest, you know, and then walking away and not looking back.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's very very apt. And again, the same thing keeps coming up, which we've talked about different ways, is mm-hmm. that it's about being open
mm-hmm.
to the what you're looking for, asking for, rather than structuring mm-hmm. it with rigidity.
Yes. Right? I know some of the spirit guides, I know especially the first couple spirit guides I got, you know, I'm was in meditation, had my intention set, ready to go. And I did get and received some spirit guides that have been with me for a long time. But the first couple spirit guides that showed up, I was like, what? Yeah, be my spirit guide? How is this possible? And it's just like right there, you know, that whole constrictive, it's like, yeah, just throw that out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because what's happening is you're wanting to construct things. And yes, in certain formats, hermetic or otherwise, there is a lot of structure. Mm-hmm. But within that structure, you also have to learn when to be less mm-hmm. controlling. Mm-hmm. 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 And I think that, but different traditions have different ways about going at things and what they want and how they get it. So being understanding about it, but you know, for most of us, I'm a hedge witch, you're a hedge witch, you know, we're in positions where we're fluid, and that's what we do the best, and we are the best for the people that we work with or know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
well, I think that that was an excellent closing statement, Elvira.
Yes. Thank you. I know it's time for us to start closing.
Oh, yes. So here I go with a little bit of housekeeping mm-hmm. and contact info. So contact info for readings or root work, you can find Elvira and I on Hoodoo Psychics and on AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. And you can also find Elvira for readings online at www.elvira.com. And you can also find Elvira at www.milk-and-honey.com. So.
And for yourself?
Yes, and you can find me, Deborah Voith, for tarot readings, mediumship, and spellcasting. You can find me on Facebook, but you can also find me on my website at www.bewitchingbee.com. Okay, so this wraps up the show. For the next show, Elvira and Lenora will be talking about the god Cernunnos. That should be a great show. But for now, it is time for us to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. And until next time, our magical friends, witch on, witch well, and witch wisely.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs on Thursdays and is available for download. Plus, we're uploading them weekly as YouTube videos. Questions or comments on this show, or ideas for upcoming shows, can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.